bachelor after I got out of the military and said, don't let him get married. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and got married anyway because, well, you know, she lived in New York and I was a Kansas guy and it would never have worked, I don't think. But mm-hmm. she was a nice lady. She was a kind lady. Mm-hmm. And
was she in the service?
No, she wasn't. She was a civilian.
Well, how did she get to travel over there?
I don't know. She just went wherever she wanted to, I guess.
Okay, all right.
She had the money.
Yeah.
And she found out from Roosevelt where I was at.
Okay.
Because they're next door neighbors. Mm-hmm. I've been always going to go up there and see that place. But mm-hmm. I've been to New York City several times. But that's a foreign country to me.
Right, yeah.
They don't treat people. I don't know how people live there, but that's beside the point.
Okay. All right, so when you were on the ships in the Pacific Theater, you were the helmsman for Admiral Halsey's...
Well, on the ship now.
Okay, on the ship. Okay. What else did you do?
Well, that's what he always got on to me about. I'd done anything that was necessary. I made a raise as a cable splicer.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard him talk of the R2800 engines. That was a fighter plane engine. And it was a 2,000 horsepower motor mm-hmm. engine. And because I was mechanically inclined, I'd wind up in the shop where they were working on.
Okay.
So I'd work on engines.
Okay.
Because they got to know me, the chiefs did and what have you. And I could grind valves and put rings on pistons and put them back in, put the connecting rods together. I'd done a lot of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Besides my other little duty thing.
Right.
I got to where I didn't have stand watch, and that was what it was all about, because I didn't want to stand watch.
Okay.
So I shirked that duty mm-hmm. and done other things. But
okay.
Halsey said to me one day, he said, what can't you do? I said, well, I don't like the way you worded that. It's, what can't you not do?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's so many things I can't do that it's make a big book.
Yeah.
He laughed about that. He thought that was funny. But, mm-hmm. well, I took care of his barge, and that was pretty impressive. Now, mm-hmm. we put it up underneath the flight deck, and well, it was had two diesel engines in it. Now, I'm a diesel mechanic, too.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that, and I learned that after I came out of another. I really learned to be a real diesel mechanic, mm-hmm. but I learned to be a diesel man in the Navy.
Did you make friends of the other young men?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a lot of buddies.
Mm-hmm.
I someday would like to, being you're going to put this in Congress, I'd like to somehow know how I'd get all my ship buddies back together off the USS Shipley Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put a letter in for every one of them if I knew their addresses, mm-hmm. and there was 180 of us in that bunch.
Okay.
I think that's what's in the picture. I can't remember. But
okay.
I got all their names, but I haven't got their telephone numbers and addresses.
Mm-hmm.
So the Navy, I was going to write to the Navy and see if they wouldn't get it, but then probably never wouldn't make sense to them.
Well, probably some of them are gone by now.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of them already dead. I know some of them's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
But
was that hard to make friends?
Not for me.
Okay.
I mixed with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some
did
of the
you
officers.
Did you keep in touch with any of them?
Some of them.
Okay.
The ones in Wichita, Buddy Hyde, Olaf Miller, White, and John Johnston in New York City. He was a grandson of the Johnson Bandage Company.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I boxed in the Navy too, and was that real bad. But I a little bit of Mexican, no offense now.
Mm-hmm.
They done it twice a week. We had matches to box, and I was a pretty good boxer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never been knocked down until this Mexican came along, and he was a Golden Glove boxer. And he just pecked, 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 and down I went, and I didn't get up. I woke up in the hospital.
Oh.
Well, he pecked me pretty hard. But anyway, I said to him, after it was over with, I said, not never putting gloves back on again. If the rest of them guys hurt as bad as I hit them, as you hit me, they don't need to hurt like that. So mm-hmm. I didn't box no more.
Okay, all right.
And then I had to do something else, so I'd done other things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was even a mess cook.
Okay.
And I was scrub dishes too, and oh, and peel potatoes, and it didn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
Something to do.
Okay, so when you were in Guadalcanal and you got on a different ship, then you stayed over in the Pacific?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and this was an aircraft carrier,
mm-hmm.
and the aircraft there would then go on bombing missions and come back?
Well, we had fighter airplanes on board the ship, and they done their thing. I mean, there's a lot of things happened. If you could see the book, I wouldn't have to answer any questions. But we went to hell a couple of three times.
Okay, and could you describe that?
Well, we sunk three times according to news things, and I got my knees messed up, and there was a bomb hit, picked the back of us up, and I fell down a ladder in the Navy, and went in the bulkhead and messed my knees up pretty bad. They're still bothering me, but I've never done nothing to them. They wanted to operate on them. They wouldn't discharge me nowhere in Oklahoma on account of my bad knee. And I said, whatever I have to do, I'll sign a piece of paper and forget it. That's what I've done.
Okay.
I said, they don't never hurt in the worst hour now. I can live with that. So I've lived with them ever since then.
Okay.
And now they're beginning, I'm getting older. They're beginning to hurt.
So you were close to the fighting then when you were in the Pacific?
Because that's what we've done.
Okay. Okay. What was some of your feelings as you were in the thick of it?
I think I'm meaner than most of them, and them Japs aren't about to sink us, and we done a lot of, I can't say I done a lot of it, but I was a 20 millimeter gunner, and I was a 5-inch gunner, and I was a 40 millimeter gunner, and I got to be where I could operate any of them, and I was second powderman on a 5-inch 38, and we done a lot of damage. I'm sure. But we'd stand and bomb off and shoot off islands and what have you. I don't know how, when I went to Guadalcanal, I don't know how that island could still be a rock and still be up with me. They bombed it, sometimes they bombed it 24 hours a day for weeks. Couldn't kill them.
Yeah.
And, well, there's other things that went on too. I mean, subs was after us. And we had sub protectors, airplanes. And they would sink the sub, or at least he wouldn't chase us no more. And we had a whale to follow us one time for 2 months, always on the rear. And they thought he was a submarine. Well, he wasn't a whale. He was this big old whale. So that was an exciting thing.
Yeah.
And we all watched and everything. He surfaced, come up. Not supposed to feed fish, but I fed him anyway. Well, he was big, and he opened his mouth, and I just had meat, and I just threw it in the mouth, and he'd eat it. But you're not supposed to do things like that.
Yeah.
I was a good sailor, but I had my own ways about doing things too.
Well, did you ever feel scared? Did you ever feel in danger of losing your life?
No, I'm going to say something now. This is kind of strange, you might understand. But I know you got to die sometime. And I've already programmed myself for dying. If it's your time, you're going to die.
Okay.
And so that didn't interfere with my mind, and it really didn't. I told my mother and dad, and when I come home and seen them, I said, if I have to get shot up, arm or legs off, I'm not coming home. So.
Yeah. Now, when you were there, when you were over there, did you receive mail from your mom and dad?
Oh, sure.
And were you able to send them things?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got something else. I'll tell you about that. I didn't write my mother and father for several months. So they called the Navy Department, and Halsey got the message. And he called me to report to his cabin immediately when he got the message. So I got in there, and he said, stand up, and you're supposed to stand at attention. So I got something to say to you. I thought, well, now what in the hell have I done now? That's just what I thought. He said, when did you last write your mother a letter? I don't know how long it was, several months. That's what I told him. He said, you'd be in my stateroom at such and such a time, I think it's 1600, and you're going to write a full page to your mother every night. So I did. Didn't suit him. He just tore him up, threw him away from us. And he said, you can say anything you want. I'll sign it. And nobody will ever care. So he did.
Okay.
He said, you tell him what you're doing. And so I just told him I was killing Japs, which we did, and on islands. And we'd been bombed, and we'd been strafed, and Well, there's a lot of things happened to us, but nothing. Well, we didn't sink. That was
right.
Now, they sunk a whole bunch. I've seen several ships sunk and go down.
Mm-hmm.
Aircraft carriers hit our aircraft right away in the fuel tanks. 10 minutes and she weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
She blowed up. We had several sister ships.
Mm-hmm.
But one task force was in there. It was 280-some ships. And it was all driven by, I'm going to call it trigonometry problems.
Mm-hmm.
You shot the sun, figured out where you're going. So they made course changes on the zigzag course. And these was, well, you had to be on course or you'd run into somebody here or they'd run into you or something else. So I got to where I could just steer it anywhere,
mm-hmm.
anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So in combat, when it's being attacked or something, I got to be the helmsman.
Okay.
And I was had earphones on and they'd say rest. Letter 20 degrees or 5 or whatever it was, right, whatever it was, or put it in reverse and back it up. All that stuff went on.
Okay.
And I survived that all right, mm-hmm. so I didn't, I really didn't even worry about dying.
Okay.
You know the truth about it. Didn't, it entered my mind, but I guess I felt that, well, if it's my time, it's my time, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Where were you, or do you remember when the war in Europe ended? Do you remember hearing about that?
Who?
The war in Europe, when it ended.
Well, kind of did. Yeah, we know about that. But let me tell you something about the bomb that dropped on Hiroshima.
Yes.
I was within 100 miles of her.
Okay.
Seeing the mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was going home. So, being as I was a guard on top of the ship,
mm-hmm.
had binoculars, and I see that was
August
Nagasaki,
mm-hmm.
or Hiroshima. Anyway, I would look at the island over there. We'd been around the island one thing, and when we come by after drop the bomb, now that island was as smooth as the top of that table. There wasn't even a tree stand,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how many thousand people was on the island, but they's all dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Halsey, I said, it was a hell of an explosion, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he said, we're going to drop another.
Mm-hmm.
I said, when? He said, you'll see it. We'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
So when they dropped the second one, we weren't as close, but we still seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that they dropped one in the center of Tokyo and it went down the street, atomic bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go off.
Uh-huh.
They don't know why. Even today, they don't know why.
Mm-hmm. What did everyone think when we dropped
it? Happy.
Okay.
Oh, hell, it just... War was over. We knew it had to be over because they couldn't stand any more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just couldn't do it. And Jimmy Doolittle, you knew him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew him personally.
Mm-hmm.
Halsey knew him, and then I met him. But he was quite a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Roosevelt, and I heard this. See, I'd done other things, too. I'd go to the Radio Shack. You're not supposed to, but it was okay because of who I was. Well,
mm-hmm.
I could go and listen to the guys in the airplanes and... Jimmy Doolittle said, Roosevelt, he said, I'm right in the middle of Tokyo. Give me the word and I'll drop the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And Roosevelt said, Congress will take care of that. They know how to handle the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Little, if I'd have been aboard that ship, I'd have pulled that lever and dropped that egg.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have been the war, been over further.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Truman... You can say what you want to about him, but I liked him because he made the decision.
Right.
He said it's the hardest decision he ever made in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I either think how many people I didn't get killed or did get killed.
Mm-hmm.
He said that stopped the war.
Yeah.
And it did.
Mm-hmm. When they dropped the bomb and everyone thought, oh, ho, the war's over, we're going home, did you feel that too? Did you think,
oh, yeah,
oh, good,
I knew I was going. I knew I was going home.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Halsey and I talked about it even.
Were you glad to be going home?
Oh, you know, I can't really say that. I wondered what was going to happen to all those people,
mm-hmm.
and all them islands where all that bombing and strafing was going on, and one thing or another. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Halsey insisted I stay in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if I'd have stayed in 4 more years, I could have been a first lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. But you decided not to.
I decided not to.
Okay, do you know why?
Yeah.
Why?
I wanted to go home and get married and have a family.
Okay.
which that's what I done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny how it happened, but when I left the ship, they treated us like a bunch of cattle. Mm-hmm. Took me to Norman, Oklahoma, and we boxcars, didn't even have beds, just slept on the floor in a wooden or a cardboard box. Mm-hmm. And got down there, and I was used to going on Liberty anytime I wanted to because of Halsey. Mm-hmm. So I had a Halsey card. I had that card until they took it away from me in Norman. Said, you don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'd go on Liberty anyway. And sometimes I wouldn't come back, and I was supposed to, and the SPs would pick me up, and I'd go back to Norman, Oklahoma. They wouldn't bring me, but they'd restrict me to the base. Because mm-hmm. I was supposed to get discharged. So when I got ready to be discharged, they shipped me back to Leavenworth.
Okay.
And when I got to Leavenworth, the chief that wouldn't accept me in the military was there, and he said, Sinclair, Sinclair. I said, that name rings a bell. Well, he was a pretty big man too, but I was bigger than he was. Mm-hmm. And he said, I know who you are. I said, you're supposed to. I remembered him because he helped me. He helped me lie about my height, mm-hmm. helped me lie about my weight, mm-hmm. and forged my name. He said, that's okay. It's already been straightened out. And you're, let's see, he said, if my head touches that piece that's on top of it, you're in the Navy. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't care what you do, but touch it. So I just stood on my tiptoes.
Right.
Touched it and said, you're in the Navy. Mm-hmm. Shipped me to Farragut, Idaho, mm-hmm. from there.
Yeah.
Didn't even get to go home. And so then I wrote and told my dad about it. He never forgave me even after he died, or before he died. He wouldn't forgive me for that. Because mm-hmm. he said, you should have stayed home. And I said, but I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. I had enough.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you got out in Leavenworth, and then you came back to around Cal Vista, got married, okay?
I got married in Dodge City.
Okay.
We lived in Dodge City for, let's see. I went to school at Winnie's 4 years. And then we worked, I guess I worked 2 years or 3 years for Mayraft in Dodge City. Mm-hmm. And they transferred me to Illinois. So I think I had 7 more years I lived in this area.
Okay.
Never did go back to live with my folks. I'd go see them every weekend or every 2 weeks in or something. But it was never the same. Mm-hmm. The people weren't the same. I don't know how to say it.
Just okay. Then that probably leads me into my next question. Do you think your experience in the Navy changed you?
Oh, yes. Yes. That's the biggest experience I ever had in my life. Okay. That was the best experience I ever had in my life.
Okay.
And to me, I can't say enough good things about it. In fact, I sent 3 of my own sons, forced them kind of into the military. Mm-hmm. I said, when you graduate from high school, you got one choice, to go to college or go in the military. And that's the only choices you got. Mm-hmm. So I want to know before it's too late.
Okay. What do you think you learned?
What do I think I learned? Well, let's see. I couldn't answer that if I tried all day long, probably. I learned a lot about the world.
Mm-hmm. And what did you learn about the world?
It's a big place.
Okay.
Lots of good people.
Okay.
And, well, when I started my machine shop, everybody said, worst thing in the world you can do. Well, I think if I work for people and they make money, with me helping them do this, then I ought to do it myself. Mm-hmm. So I opened my own shop. We only had $3,000 we had. Mm-hmm. So Betty said, that's my wife, she said, we'll be able to pay the rent. I rented a building on 47th Street in Boulder, the block building. Wound up owning, renting 5 of them in that thing, because we had that many people work for us, you know. I mean, we had $800,000 worth of equipment that was all ours.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you were using some of the skills that you learned in the Navy, is that right?
Because I went to school after I got out of the Navy, probably the only reason it ever happened.
Okay.
Now, I could have flew in the Navy, but the war was on, and I was not a pilot then.
Right.
And Halsey said, if the war stopped tomorrow, I'll see that you fly one of them airplanes to put it on aircraft carriers. I just told him, I said, anybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do it today. In fact, I'm a real good pilot today, but I've had two strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And they took all my licenses away from me.
Yeah.
I'm about to get them back, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still fly, and because I've got two sons that flies, they both got their licenses. And then I got a commercial license to fly out of Old Mexico in twin engine. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of hours. I got 5,000 hours flying airplanes.
Okay. All right, so what else did the Navy or your war experience teach you?
That's a hard question, and I'm going to try to answer it as easy as I can.
Okay.
Respect was one. Discipline, loyalty, and you have to be able to do your work.
Mm-hmm.
If you do your work all the time, you get along pretty well. I got along pretty well in the Navy. I mean, I had my bads and ups and downs, but they all kind of washed out in the water and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But probably my biggest fear I ever had in my life in the Navy, I'll say this to you, we had man overboard drill. And I was a little guy at that time. And three of them grabbed me and throw me in the ocean and just drive on off and then call man overboard. So the ship would make a big turn and you're back there and you're just a pebble in the water now. And they just drive on, they couldn't stop. So pretty soon here'd come a whaleboat and pick you up. Well, this one time in particular, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. Have you been in the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
Seen the horizon? Well, the ship went over the horizon that I was supposed to be on board, and I'm out there in the middle of the ocean, 10,000 foot of water,
mm-hmm.
maybe 2,000 miles from nowhere, and didn't know where I was at for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a good swimmer,
mm-hmm.
and I took my time, and I never panicked. Gonna die. I'm more worried about sharks.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see porpoises in the water, there's no sharks around.
Mm-hmm.
And a mama shark and a little shark, not a shark, a porpoise, come up and she let me touch her nose.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stayed around there till they come back and got me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the scariest I ever was in the Navy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But well, there's a lot of other things, but that's enough. That.
Did it help you grow up, do you think?
Yeah, very much.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was probably grown when I was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could do about anything that needed to be done,
mm-hmm.
and done it well.
Right.
And I worked all my life. When I had my shop, sometimes it'd be 3 days at a time. I wouldn't even leave the shop. I'd just go to sleep on my couch in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wake up, well, somebody would wake me up and they'd want to know something. We'd get it straightened out. But I worked 5 years and didn't take a day off in my shop.
Mm-hmm. You sound like a workaholic. Let me check the
question. I'm worse than a workaholic.
Is there a particular fellow Navy person, a particular officer that you remember, that you have a story about, that when you're thinking about this, something just pops into your mind?
Well, it was a friend. His name was Addie Kay,
mm-hmm.
and he and I drank a lot together. And he's seaman second class like I was. That's next to the lowest rate there is in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
But he had hash marks and here and there. He's older than I was, but he had 20 hash marks on him.
Now, what are hash marks?
4 years in the Navy.
Oh, you just cut your skin?
Well, they sewed them on him. He had from his right there to his elbow was hash marks.
Okay.
And he was older than I was, but then that made a difference. But what I liked about Addie Kay, he never got excited about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd come board ship, and I would sometimes take a string, fishing string, and tie a fifth on, hanging over the dock, and then when it got dark, I'd go get my whiskey and bring it aboard ship. Wasn't supposed to do that, but we did.
Mm-hmm.
Addie Kay would tape it to his leg. And the officer deck, bless his heart, I can't even remember his name anymore, he'd take his billy club and bounce his leg, and he said, "Hey, can't let you on board, and you know that." And Eddie could have probably been an admiral.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that much about the Navy. This officer said, "Eddie, I'll tell you what. If you go back there, I hear two splashes in the ocean. I'll let you on board." He had a fifth on each leg. So Eddie K. kind of grinned at me. I didn't go with him. But he went back there and took his shoes off, threw them in the ocean. Well, now this is really true. That's some things like that I remember real well. But I come up there and he said, "Okay, Addie." He said, "I know you got it, but I said you come on, so come on."
So that's a funny story, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that's bad about good is about that same officer now, when we'd be somewhere way off and need a drink, he'd come to either me or Addie Kay, and I stole torpedo juice out of torpedoes so I could have my alcohol.
Now what's that?
Torpedo juice. Alcohol, 180 proof.
Oh.
That's what a torpedo run off of.
Oh, I see.
And each torpedo had about 50 gallons on them. So I'd tell the torpedo man, now this is part of what an ornery kid would do. I'd say one of them torpedoes was locking, and I'd tell him which one was leaking. Mm-hmm. And I said, I just set my bucket underneath of it. I said, I think got about half a gallon out of it. I said, and you ought to check it to make sure, because we don't want to drop one of them and don't go off. So I printed always at a half a gallon, 180 alcohol, mm-hmm. in my locker. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys, Addie Kay, if he needed a drink, he knew where it was at. Mm-hmm. But I stayed sober, but I had to have a drink now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Don't notice that. Everyone was drunk aboard ship.
Mm-hmm.
But we drank a little.
Yes. Let's see. Can you think of anything that we haven't talked about that you think is important enough to be on the tape?
Well, I think that any young man that gets out of school should spend at least 4 years in the military.
Okay.
That I 100% believe that.
Okay.
And the reason I believe that is he learns things that he can never learn nowhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've heard some bad things that went on. Yeah, I've had some bad things go on with me too.
Mm-hmm.
But I survived them.
Yeah.
And that's part of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I still go back to the... let's see what they call it in school, reading, writing, arithmetic, and hickory stick. Mm-hmm. I still believe that now. I was hard on my kids,
mm-hmm.
and I got some pretty intelligent kids now. And I didn't go to high school, but I did go 4 years to junior college here in Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one semester in Galesburg, Illinois. And the military is causing all this now because I want to learn more things.
Right.
And I've taken probably 50 or 60 correspondence courses in my life because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I didn't finish. I become a world photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've had a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like you have. Let me ask you another question. When you joined the Navy, were you motivated by patriotism? Or was that talked about then?
I wanted to protect the United States if I could.
Okay.
To make it so it's a free world for the rest of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest thing.
Okay. All right. And see the world.
But I've seen the world more since I got out of the military than I ever seen in the military.
Okay.
I mean, I got to more places in the military, but
mm-hmm.
when you circle the earth and you're not even 21 years old, that's quite a bit of ground.
Now, when you were in the Pacific, did you get leave that you could leave the ship?
Oh, yes, but I only got one leave in all the time I was in. So when I got out, I think I was home 2 or 3 months. I got all my back pay for my leaves and one check from the government.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that I didn't get to go home when I wanted to
mm-hmm.
or when I was supposed to. So, no, they was pretty fair to me.
Okay.
I mean, the fairness that I say and the thing that I admire the most was they set up a program for the veterans if they wanted to go to GI training or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You answered the telephone. Done. I wouldn't have been who I am today mm-hmm. if it hadn't been for the military.
Okay.
I'd have drank myself to death or smoked myself to death. Anyway, I've had real bad cancer that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I cured myself.
Mm-hmm.
See that little thing sitting over there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Well, I created that from, did you ever hear of Nikola Tesla?
Yes.
Well,
wasn't he the one that, the first computer, something like that?
Oh, he done more than that.
Okay.
I can tell you, I can talk to you for a week about him. I've got a whole bunch of his books.
Mm-hmm.
But because of him, I created that.
Okay, and what does it do?
Kill my cancer in less than 24 hours.
Oh, really?
And I have no cancer.
Okay.
And I took no radiation.
Mm-hmm.
No chemo.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Is it an electric current or something?
Do you know what ozone gas is?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick up that hose and just smell the end of it. It won't hurt you. I smell that every day. And
ooh.
Now, you know, so it, to you, it, I can still smoke. I drink 2 or 3 glasses of water every day of that ozone gas.
Okay.
Every day. I don't catch a cold. I haven't had a cold since I got out of the military.
Hmm. Well, it must be working then.
Oh, it's more than working. There's about 50 other people that's had them too. I've manufactured them.
Oh, really?
It's against the law.
Oh.
And I got a good friend who was in Florida, and they put him in prison. FBI did.
Mm-hmm.
He just got out about 4 years ago. But he had a file cabinet.